Hello, OT friends, and welcome to the Uncommon OT series. My name is Patricia Modis. I'm the Transitions OT, and I'm your host. So today, I am super excited to introduce you to our guest of honor, Sarah Larson. Sarah is an occupational therapist and a home and life organizer. She's also the CEO of Balanced Home Organization. She graduated with her master's degree from Pacific University in Forest Grove, Oregon. Sarah's been working in traditional and non-traditional OT settings for over 19 years, serving children and adults in a variety of settings. She stepped away from traditional OT practice 2 years ago to grow her home organization business so she could provide more client-centered OT services to her clients in their homes. So Sarah has a supportive husband and two busy young boys. Some of her favorite occupations include wine tasting, salsa dancing, biking, and traveling. So without further ado, I'd like to present to you Sarah Larson. Hello, Sarah. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Patricia. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, I was just, you know, chatting with you before we pressed record about how excited I am, just because I'm such a fan of your social media postings and how you illustrate the type of OT specialty that you do. So before we get into, you know, the details of all of that, as usual, I'd love for you to just to tell us a little bit about your background. Tell us a little bit about Sarah.
Sure. Well, thank you again for having me. It's I've been listening to your podcast for a while, so it's fun to be on it with you and to spend some time here. So I always thought I wanted to be a physical therapist. My journey started because I injured my knee in high school and I was playing volleyball, fell, dislocated my knee, and I was in physical therapy for quite some time. And I thought, this looks really great. This is what I want to do. So I went to undergraduate school at Western Oregon University. And when I was starting to do my shadowing and observation hours, I kept finding myself looking over at the OTs. So like most of you probably, I had no idea what occupational therapists even did, but in the pediatric settings that I would go to, I was watching the OTs on the swing, playing with shaving cream when I'm paying attention to the physical therapists. And again, in neuro, I was looking at the OTs, working with the clients doing ADLs. And I thought, I need to explore this more. What's this wonderful profession about? So I switched and started doing more observation. And once I really understood how holistic occupational therapy is and how much it focuses on the mental aspects of humans and the physical aspects and more, I was really drawn to that because I was already a psychology major. Mm-hmm. And something that was so interesting to me. So I switched my major and went full steam ahead towards occupational therapy. And it's the best decision that I've ever done.
So Lucky us. You could have been in the other team. Yes.
A great career that has, you know, taken me on such a wild and amazing journey the last 19 years. And so I went to graduate school at Pacific University in Forest Grove, where I got my master's degree. And shortly thereafter, I moved to Portland and started my first OT job. I was so nervous at the time, but I was working in an outpatient pediatric setting. And I loved it. I was working in early intervention. I did some aquatic therapy and I treated kids in a clinic setting.
Cool.
And then about a year later, I started dipping my toe in really working in hospital settings. So I worked on call in an inpatient rehab facility in a level one trauma center in Portland. And I immediately fell in love with that. I loved the intensity of it. I was working with children who had big life changes and families who were going through something that was so challenging for them. And I really enjoyed being a support for them. The whole family was the client, of course, in that setting. Mm-hmm. I worked there for about 10 years, and we had teams where we could specialize. I worked on all the different teams, but eventually I really fell in love with working with children with spinal cord injuries, and that became more of my specialty. So after about 10 years, I transitioned to working with adults in inpatient rehab as a spinal cord therapist. Then I decided to have kids, and I felt like it was a lot.
Yes.
So I transitioned to working in skilled nursing off and on for a few years while I was pregnant and having my two boys. Once they were a little older, I felt like it was time to ramp up the speed again and go back to a setting that really had that intensity that I so crave.
Yeah.
So I worked my last 5 years in acute care with adults with all levels of abilities in a hospital setting. Mm-hmm. And that was my last traditional OT job. I didn't know it at the time. I never set out to be an entrepreneur, but I started to think about things that I could do outside of traditional practice. And it led me to launching my business, which I think you're going to hear more about in a few minutes.
Yes. Oh, I love the steps, you know, the steps that you took. And I'm sure you didn't plan all of that, right?
No.
All of it sort of organically happened. But it pulled you towards where you want to be today, right? Each of those experiences built on that. And, you know, part of what we also try to showcase on this podcast is really just the wide array of settings in which we can practice. And I think you're a perfect example of that, and how, you know, you've really been able to pivot your career in a variety of ways in a variety of periods during your, you know, your life, right? In terms of whatever is happening with your personal life, having kids and having to sort of make work shifts and, you know, as a result of that. So thank you for sharing that with us, because I think that's another really highlight of being an OT, is how, you know, we can do that.
Well, I just love how it ebbs and flows with different chapters and phases of my life. I was able to make these shifts and work in trauma when I was a fresh OT and I really craved that intensity. And now that I feel a little more seasoned and I'm at a different space in my life, now I can make my business how I want it to be. And I don't need and crave as much of that intensity. So it's been just a wonderful profession. And I'm so glad I made that choice way back in undergrad, because it's truly been something that has helped me get to this place where I am today.
Oh, fantastic. So yes, please tell us a little bit more about the Uncommon OT work that you do, perhaps, you know, the population that you serve, right, and some of the needs that you address.
Okay. So I started my business, it's called Balanced Home Organization, and I work with clients in their homes for 4-hour periods of time. And this really all came about 2 years before I left my acute care job. I was feeling overwhelmed in my life. I had a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I was working 20 hours a week in acute care. And I had things everywhere. I felt like I was drowning in stuff, all the baby stuff, the toddler stuff. It just accumulated over the years. And I was so busy with carrying babies and giving birth and being a mom, being a working mom, that things just got away from me. And I'd always been a fairly organized person, but I just was in this state of overwhelm where I felt stuck. And I felt like I had lost myself a little bit, because I was now a mom and a wife and an OT. And those are certainly part of who I am, but I felt like part of me was missing. And I had all the things, right? I had the American dream. I had the two kids and a car and a job and a house and all the things, but I really, truly wasn't happy. And I was searching for something. And my mother-in-law gave me a book about home organization. And I thought, well, let me get back to my roots, because I am an organized person. My mom's an accountant and my dad was in the military. So I grew up in a very tidy home and genetically very organized. But like all of us, we get busy and things kind of get out of control. So I read the book and started organizing my closet. And that felt really great because there were so many clothes in there that were not my friends anymore. It was time for them to go. So slowly I went through the closet, got rid of things, and I felt just this huge sense of relief, like, oh, this is now a positive space that I want to be in. And I kept going. So then I would organize the rest of my bedroom, and that made me feel lighter. I'd organize the bathroom. Then I went through each room in my entire house till I did the whole house. And at the end of it, I had truly felt this giant shift that had happened in my life. I didn't know I was going to be on an organizing journey. That's what I call it now for my clients. But I truly was on this journey of self-discovery and trying to figure out who I was again. But by letting go of all that stuff that had been holding me back, it propelled me forward so that I could find myself again. And I was able to start working out again. We tackled all of our debt and now we're debt-free. I was able to clear the mental clutter that had been holding me back. So by getting rid of all the physical clutter, it just was a huge mental health shift for me. And I thought, I wonder if there's other parents out there who are struggling just like I am, who want to make big changes in their lives, but they feel stuck and don't know how to move forward. And so that really was the impetus for me launching the business. I put some feelers out there, talked to some of my friends, and the immediate risk and overwhelming response was, yes, this is a thing. This is a thing. So my friends were sweet and let me practice on their spaces and to really get comfortable in thinking about being an entrepreneur, because that was something that never crossed my mind until I went through my transformation and was like, I need to share this with people. It's life-changing. And
I
so that's
love
how
it.
it was born.
I love it. I mean, now it's even more meaningful, right? It's you're coming from your own challenges, and I think that always that always makes a difference in how you deliver the service, right? Because you have that sort of other lens, and there's certainly a need for it, right? So wonderful. I just love it. Okay. This is you've set up your business. This is your niche. Can you tell us a little bit about, I guess who are you serving? Are you serving mostly parents or young, moms with kids? And what kinds of needs are you addressing there? I know we're talking about organization, and you also sort of mentioned a little bit, like, there's some mental health stuff, people not wanting to maybe let go. I've had some experience working with hoarders, so to speak, and I don't even like to use that word because I think that's it's so it's so damaging, right? In terms of even just our approach. But it is an issue. I understand that it's an issue for some folks. So I understand the mental health, the giant mental health piece that goes into even stepping your foot in someone's home, right? That's someone's home. You have to be respectful and be invited. Kind of like I would always tell students, you're a vampire. Until you're invited in, you cannot go inside.
Oh,
That's
I
how
like
we. So yes,
that.
please tell me what you think about any of that stuff that I just
Sure.
said.
And as I was really starting to structure my business, I did a SWOT analysis, of course, being the OT that I am, and wanted to look at the opportunities that were out there and see what people were offering and what they weren't offering. And at the time, I didn't know of any other OTs who were doing this. And since then, I've met one other OT, and I'd love to hear from anybody in the audience if somebody else is doing it. It'd be fun to connect. But I know that as a profession, people have such a hard time understanding what OTs do. So I wanted to position my business in a way that people understood what I was offering. So I'm very much offering occupational therapy services, but I'm delivering it in a different way. I'm talking about it from a home organization standpoint. So when people go to my website, they see, oh, she helps people to declutter and organize in their homes virtually. And also, I offer that life organization piece, which is a lot of, more of that life coaching piece, looking at time management and executive functioning skills, things like that, so that people are really understanding that it's a tangible product. Yes. Okay, I'm going to hire her to come to my house for 4 hours, and she's going to help me organize whatever space is driving me the most crazy. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing about that is that people understand that. And I'm using an OT lens, and I explain that in the consultation. Yes, I'm an organizer. I can make things look Pinterest perfect if that's what you want. However, a large part of what I'm hoping to work on with you is to really look at your daily habits and your routines and the flow of your family and figure out organizing systems that make sense for your daily life. So I'm looking at the, not necessarily asking questions in the consultation about mental health differences. Those tend to be offered freely by my clients. They tend to say things that they are struggling with, or even superpowers. You know, ADHD can be a superpower. Mm-hmm. I have ADHD, and I'm calling you because I struggle with this, but I'm really talented in this. So I don't often ask those questions, because as practitioners, we can pick up on those cues in conversation and when we're working with clients, and I can adapt and tailor things for clients. So I don't feel like I need to ask that straight up front, like you would in an OT consultation.
Yes.
And then I ask clients about the areas that they really want to shift in their house and make big changes. And I ask them if they're ready in the consultation, because I do specialize in working with clients who are ready to make big life changes and who are ready to let go of things and declutter in order to help propel them forward. So like I said earlier, the organizing journey. I tell them that we're going to start your organizing journey and we're going to be working together. I'm not going to show up, organize your pantry, and then never see you again. Yes. That's not how this kind of organizing works. And what I discovered is that people are very drawn to that. They want somebody that's continuously there to coach them on every space in their house. And I quickly grew a wait list right after I started my business. I did not expect to be as successful as I was. I had major fears, and I just didn't know, you know, a lot about business.
Yes.
But what I found was that when I was myself and I would go in, and somebody might hire me for a pantry, and we would work together side by side to declutter and organize that space. And they would ask me questions like, oh, this has always been a challenge for me. I don't, you know, I get the mail from the mailbox and the mail just goes on my kitchen counter. What do I do with that? Mm-hmm. I can't get a laundry system in place. What do I do for that? So it really started to transition to talking about their IADLs in a natural way. And clients really were drawn to that piece of it. Mm-hmm. So what happened is they would be happy with the one space they hired me for, and then they would hire me to do the whole rest of their house. Yes. And so that was how I really quickly got a wait list. And I didn't leave traditional practice for another 2 years, because I really wanted to build the foundation of my business. And I didn't want to jump in the boat before it pulled up to the dock. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure that my business was thriving before I made that transition away from traditional OT practice. And so COVID was actually the natural thing that happened. I was planning on leaving in 2021. That was my goal. And then COVID happened and my boy's school was canceled. So I was at home doing distance learning. So that gave me an opportunity to really build more of the foundation of my business. And I would organize on the weekends while my husband was home with the boys. And now that the boys are back in school, I do the business full time and it gets my full attention. So, and to answer your question more fully, the types of clients who seek me out most often are busy parents. Usually they have between 1 and 4 kids, and they, both parents typically work part or full time. And I like to do data analysis, being an OT and a researcher. About 60 to 70% of my clients are entrepreneurs themselves. So it's been really fun to connect and have so much in common. And because
Yes.
I am them and they are me, I think it really blends nicely with meeting what they're looking for.
Yeah, it's almost like they're seeing themselves in the mirror and, they're able to really relate. But wow, after everything that you've said, I just, thinking what better home I organizer to have than an OT, right? Like this just sounds like because I know that there are home organizers out there, life organizers or folks who call themselves that, but they're not necessarily occupational therapists. So, your specific lens seems to really benefit or add a great deal of value, especially in the approach and how you may even just, kind of explain how you can help individuals.
Absolutely. And some people find, they tell me in the intake consultation that they sought me out because they saw on my website because I was an OT. So they might have had a child who had sensory differences, who had seen an OT, or their parents might have been helped by an OT, or they themselves had experienced OT in a different setting. So they really, I would say about half my clients really love that piece, and that's why they have sought me out. And when I do work with, I do have some older adults that I've really enjoyed working with over the years. And they have particularly sought me out because I'm an OT. So I do really, I am very mindful about putting things between their knee level and shoulder level so they can reach them. I look at tripping hazards. I look at their daily ADL routines, and I try to place things in a way that really makes sense for them, and to not disrupt their daily routines because I know how important that is. So yes, and then other clients who, as I mentioned earlier, might have ADD or ADHD and are really looking for strategies on how to keep their house organized after we're done working together. So I give a lot of concrete examples, and we talk about habits that have maybe brought them to this point,
Yes.
and talk about the cycle of disorganization. And now that they have an organizing system that is customized to them, I teach them the steps and the habits to help maintain the systems, because that really is the important piece of it, is to make sure that it's something that is sustainable in the long term.
Yeah. I mean, we've all had the chance to sort of organize our closets, right? And then 2 months later, it's in shambles again. So when you were talking earlier about the sigh of relief or just a sense of relief after doing each space or each room even, I totally get it. And I love that you've created something where you're helping folks kind of generate that same, motivation and that same, sort of action steps for themselves, right? Because there's something about that that's so empowering. Again, we're using our hands, we're doing, we're taking control of the situation, right? And then we're making the difference ourselves. So I think there's something very special about that and how, you're delivering. It's still the same OT. I still hear the same OT back there. It's just in the in a different way. I love the sustainability piece, how you're having discussions about habits, because that's what really, that's what's composed of our routines, right? And it's all about, whether we maintain them. Can we talk a little bit about maybe a typical session? I know you talked about sort of readiness, and I heard that as, oh, you're assessing. You're doing a little assessment or screening to see if this person might be appropriate for your service, right? And it's the beautiful thing about entrepreneurship, I think, is that we also have the option of picking and choosing whether this is something that we want to take on, unlike if you were to work in an acute setting and you were assigned a client, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. So tell us, or would you mind sharing with us how you screen? What's part of your assessment process? And I know you talked about virtual and also maybe you do some in person as well.
Yes. Yes. So most of my sessions are in people's homes in the Portland metro area. And what a day looks, what that kind of looks like is I show up and it's a 4-hour session that's offered from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. and it's offered during the week. And the first session, I tell clients up front in the con I do is so I'll, first of all, I do a 20-minute Zoom consultation so I can see the space that they want to organize. And then we can chat about the things that they've tried already that have been successful and the things that they have tried that haven't worked well. And then I can see any organizing supplies that they might already have and just get a sense of how much stuff is in the room so that we can have a candid conversation about, in order to create an organizing system that works in that space, I anticipate that you'll probably need to declutter about a third, a fourth, sometimes even a half of the things in that room that you're showing me. Are you ready to?
Before you even get there. Okay.
No, as part of our process, because I can't magically create more space.
Okay, got it.
So we have to declutter the things that are there in order
Yes.
to create space.
That's a
So that's
great
part of,
point
yes.
because you have to let go of stuff. You can't just keep everything and move them around and sort of find a container for everything. Yes,
No, and
okay.
that's usually what my clients have tried in the past, is they've tried to get organized on their own but haven't done the decluttering. So then the system doesn't last and they get frustrated. It's kind of this cycle of disorganization. There's
Yes.
great intention there. You might even buy beautiful bins and containers with this wonderful intention of getting organized. And it might be somewhat organized, but it's temporary because the real work hasn't quite been done yet, and that's the decluttering. So I am very candid about that up front in the consultation. And as you said, we get to choose who we want to work with and who we don't as OTs owning our own business. So I do prefer to work with clients who are ready to let go of things because in the beginning, I learned that there were a few clients that I worked with who didn't want to get rid of things. And then it quickly became frustrating for them because they expected it to look like the home edit or the container store, and it didn't because they weren't ready to get rid of things. And everybody just needs to be ready on their own time. I don't ever want to force people, but I really just want to make sure that people are to that phase where they want to make a big change when they're ready to work with me. So, because I
And
want to
you.
prevent that frustration for them.
Yeah, and you mentioned 4 hours, right? So that's not a lot of time if you're really, I mean, I guess it depends on the space that you're trying to clear out. How are you generally able to meet the goals within those 4 hours, or how do you usually have to come back for more sessions?
Multiple sessions. So
Multiple.
most of my clients I work with for months. Some of them I've been working with for years. And so, for example, a standard kitchen takes about 3 sessions. It takes about 12 hours. So that would be a standard kitchen with a pantry.
Okay.
A home office, for example, especially now during, during COVID, everybody working from home, offices typically take at least 20 hours to organize. So that's about 5 sessions. Garages can be between 5 to 10 sessions. So that's the beauty of doing that Zoom consultation is I can give a rough estimate of how many sessions it's going to take.
Yes.
And then my clients book the sessions using the Calendly app. So that way they get autonomy. They get to choose what dates they want when they get access to my calendar. Then they get to pick what days they want. And I typically tell people to book 3 to 5 sessions up front. So that way, because my schedule does fill up quickly, so that way they're not 1 session into their project and then I'm booked for the next 2 months.
Yes, kind of
So
losing momentum.
I typically say to book 3 to 5 sessions up front, and then we can always cancel as needed, but and I tell them that it's gonna just depend on how a couple of things. So when I get there, how many things really are in the space, how big the space is, and how quickly they make decisions about what stays and what goes. And so we find our groove, And so when we get to know each other more, we scoot through things a little quicker. And sometimes clients really want to take their time and be really intentional about what they're letting go of. And that's the beauty of this. There are no timed units. There's nothing billable. You know, we can do this is their time. So they paid for a 4-hour session. I have a client who wanted to organize her office, and we did a quarter, you know, we spent an hour on her office. And then she said, I'm feeling quite overwhelmed in here. Let's go talk about something else. And we sat for 3 hours and talked about life organization. She really wanted to get her to get back in shape and start being more social again after COVID. So we stopped the physical organizing, and then we talked about her long-term goals, her short-term goals. We talked about strategies that she could use to achieve those goals. So that's the beauty of this, is it's very fluid and it adapts to whatever clients want to do during that time.
And again, the fact that you're an OT, I think is just you're able to highlight and identify where the needs are for this particular family or for this particular woman. So, love all of that. You mentioned billing. Can you share with us how you charge? What are some of your rates? And yeah, do you accept insurance?
I don't accept insurance from the get-go. I just wanted to keep things simple and easy, and accessible for my clients. And that's my whole thing, is I want to simplify their life, not complicate it. And so I have one rate, and it's straightforward for a 400 for a 4-hour session, $450. Now, if they get to their third session, I give them a $25 discount. And if they get to their fifth session, I give them another $25 discount to entice them to keep going on their in organizing journey, because everybody likes a discount and to have positive reinforcement, right? So there's the OT piece in there of the positive reinforcement. You're doing so well, let's give you a discount. You're doing so well, let's give you a discount. And so and payment is accepted up front through the Calendly app. So they go on, they pick their date that they want to work, they pay for the session up front. And then after the session is done, there might have been some organizing supplies that they wanted me to bring, like bins and baskets or drawer organizers, you name it. I'm happy to bring it. And then I would just invoice through QuickBooks after the session for the shopping time. Charge a $95 an hour shopping fee. So that way, that's for sourcing the materials, ordering it, going to pick it up at the Container Store or Target, or Bed Bath and Beyond, and then driving it to the client's home and installing it. So I bill for that. And then I bill for the product itself. I don't mark the product up. I just charge as is, because I'm already shopping, charging for the shopping time. So I don't mark up the product. And then if clients want me to take away their donations, then I do charge a $50 fee for that as well. So all of my time is paid for up front, but any of the add-on services and the materials are billed afterwards.
But all of these other add-ons also just kind of make it flow a little bit better for these individuals. So, from a business perspective or from an entrepreneur perspective, I love them.
Thank you. Yeah, and most clients don't want to take the donations away. They're like, yeah, just take it, just get it out of here. And I think that's great, because I don't want the donations to end up back in the house either. So I think it's a mutually beneficial service that I offer. And then for the virtual home organizing, what that looks like, that's typically people who are not in the Portland metro area and who want more of a coaching role, where I'm on Zoom with them. So it's an hour long and I'm on Zoom, and they will pick a spot they want to work on, and I walk them through the 5-step organizing system that I've created. And so they'll show me their space on Zoom, and I'll say, okay, take that and put that here. And this is how we're going to look at decluttering. And now this is what you're going to do. And I typically give homework in between the sessions. So they'll book about They can book individual sessions, but usually people book about three to hold themselves accountable. And those are 60-minute sessions, and those are $129 for each session. And then for the life organization, that is more of that coaching piece where somebody wants to work on being more productive, or how to manage their household better, how to manage their time more efficiently, or they just have other goals, like fitness goals. I have a client who is turning 55 and she wants to be able to walk a 5K, but she hasn't been able to work out much during COVID because she was a caregiver for her mother. Mm-hmm. So working on, you know, whatever it is, we meet the clients where they're at, just like we do in traditional OT practice. And I work with them to set their long-term goals, short-term goals, and then objectives that they want to meet before we meet again. And those are the same. Those are an hour long over Zoom, and they're $129.
Very nice. I love how you've packaged all of your services. And again, how it just complements. It just complements each other. And again, coming from your OT lens, you understand how each of these pieces really impact the greater whole, right? Can you share with us some, maybe you have already, in you know, some of the stuff that you've already mentioned, can you share with us some recent successes and maybe some challenges that you've had in your role?
Sure, absolutely. Well, one of my biggest successes is I have this wonderful elderly client that I work with. She's 91, and we started working together. She was one of my first clients 4 years ago. And I helped her to downsize from her 6,000 square foot estate into a 2-bedroom apartment, independent living apartment within a retirement community. And that was so fun because she wanted to go room by room, drawer by drawer, cupboard by cupboard, and figure out what were the most important things that she would take with her to her next location. Mm-hmm. And so many beautiful stories came out of that. She doesn't have family and she wanted to share her journey. So as we're looking through all the memorabilia, and again, this is her time. She can spend it how she wants. We don't have to do things that are billable, right?
Yeah.
Whatever she wants the session to be. So there were some sessions where we were looking through memorabilia for hours and she just wanted to share those stories because she was ready to let go of some of those things in her transition to her next home. And it allowed her that opportunity to say goodbye to a lot of the things that she had. She grew up in that house and she moved out when she was an adult and then she came back to live there after her parents passed. And so it was just such a lovely opportunity for me to be with her side by side, helping her to really figure out what were the most important things and what was she ready to let go of. And it can be very emotional, as you said earlier, to let go of things. And there were times where she needed me to ask her those important questions, like, when's the last time you used this? Do you think you'll ever use it again? Are you sure this is so special to you because you have limited space? So she needed me to ask her those guiding questions to let go of some of the things and really to help propel her forward. And then I helped her to pack and we hired a moving company. And then on the other side, I helped her to unpack and get situated in her new apartment, which was very exciting. Great. And then unfortunately, COVID hit. And so we weren't quite working. We weren't quite done. We had one room left in her apartment and it was a room that she wasn't utilizing very often. But then I didn't get access to the building for 2 years because of their regulations. Mm-hmm. And I stayed connected with her the whole time, except for 6 months. She kind of disappeared off the radar. And I thought, I wonder if something happened to her. Oh, but because I'm not family, they gave me information. And a couple months ago, she called and said, I fell in the shower, which was terrible. She had a shower chair and all the things, not given by me, given by her facility OT. But of course, I made sure that they were there and she didn't have to. But she fell in the shower and ended up going to the hospital and doing the whole skilled nursing route. And she made the decision then to transition to the assisted section of her community. And she called and said, "You know, this terrible thing has happened to me. However, I'm excited to have Sarah back in my life. Can you come help me?" So I helped her to unpack and get organized. I'm helping her now to unpack and get organized in her assisted apartment. And of course, now we're really thinking about placement of items because now she uses a front wheel walker and a four wheel walker and a wheelchair at times. So she's just such a success story of just the beauty that comes out of building relationships when you have your own OT business. You get to choose how long those relationships last. And just making such a big impact in her life and having such a nice connection. That's like my biggest success story is just helping her in so many different phases of her life and just having that connection.
Again, I'm hearing all of your OT skills coming into play, and it's because you're an OT that you're recognizing the relevance and the importance of, putting it all together and whether she's actually able to use it and the importance of sustainability, right? And recognizing, especially for this 91-year-old, I want to highlight that you mentioned she was 91. It's not even just that she's decluttering, she's losing a home. She's losing her residence and is in fact is getting displaced, right? Is having to make these difficult decisions and is now in an entirely sort of alien environment to her. So you are a constant in her life, right? You're that, so it's so important for you to be there. And again, an OT, right? To recognize that it's important for you to be there versus not being there.
Yes, and then some of the challenges are that people see wonderful shows on Netflix that I love, like The Home Edit, like Marie Kondo's show, and they expect things to magically be done in 4 hours because it is on TV. And so I think that's one of the challenges is to really educate. And I do a lot of educating in my consultation. Those shows are fabulous. I love them all. They don't show you the decluttering. They talk about it maybe in some episodes, but some episodes they don't even talk about decluttering. And that's a huge part of getting organized is letting go of the things that are holding you back. So you have space and systems can be realistically maintained over time. So I think that is one of the challenges that I face is they expect me to come in for 4 hours and magically have the space organized. And so I just have to remind that there's, a film crew, there's four organizers, production assistants. They have two handymen and handy women on site. They've had months to prepare for this. They've measured, they've actually seen the space before. So just I think setting expectations is one of the things that I bump up against. And it's in particular this week and last week because the second season of The Home Edit just launched. So I have lots and lots of new consultations.
People are inspired.
They're
People are
inspired, which is
inspired.
wonderful, wonderful. And again, I love, love, love the show. It's just, it doesn't magically happen in 4 hours.
Yes. And that may already answer the next question that I have here is, are there any common myths or anything that you want to demystify about the work that you do? So, yes, it doesn't just happen by itself,
It
right?
doesn't just happen by itself. It does take a lot of hard work and dedication and commitment. And also, I have had a number of my colleagues and people say, "Why did you stop being an OT?" So I would love to demystify that
Yes,
because
please.
I would argue that what I'm doing right now is more OT than anything I've ever done in traditional OT practice for me personally. I can't, speak for anybody else, but I am spending hundreds of hours with people sometimes in their homes, doing the things that are the most meaningful to them and helping them to transition in ways that they really want to. They feel stuck and can't move forward. Maybe they've had a loss of a loved one and they need help to let go of those things that they've been holding on to. There's so many different things, and this is really genuinely the most OT and client-centered work that I've ever done. So I didn't leave the profession. I'm just doing it in a different way. So that is a common myth, is that I'm not an OT anymore.
Wow. Not in my eyes. I think you're the most authentic OT there is. And it, you know, I love that you really highlighted the fact that you're just doing it differently.
I'm just doing it differently. Yes.
Yes. So do you have any career advice for our listeners out there who are, you know, really like inspired by this conversation and are really thinking, you know, I love Home Organization. I love everything that Sarah has mentioned. Do you have any advice for them on how to perhaps get started?
Sure. Well, I would definitely say to organize, to find an organizer in your community who would be open to you shadowing or observing. That way you can see the ins and outs of everything that's involved. Because TV, they love to glamorize it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not all glamorous. I mean, I am definitely on my hands and knees scrubbing, you know, things out. I'm lifting, pushing, pulling, bending. There's dust, you know, in garages, it can be dirty. There's a lot to be said for trying to make sure that I have, so my garage is a container store. So taking inventory, making sure I have all the supplies on hand. There's a lot that goes into organizing. And I think it would be really important for someone to understand the business side of things and how much time you have to spend doing social media posting and reels and marketing and making connections in your community, mm-hmm. and billing and doing consultations. So understanding that business side as well as the organizing side, I think can be really eye-opening for people. It's really fun and I love all the aspects of it, but people might just think it's, oh, I get to go and make something look beautiful, which is true, but there's a lot more that goes into it. So observing. And yes. Then if the organizers in your community aren't open, you know, if they're not open to just having you observe, you might be able to be an independent contractor for them and help them out on jobs. Because a lot of organizing companies, instead of having their own employees, they have like 3 to 5 independent contractors who work for them. So if they have a larger project like a garage or a basement, they can bring in more people without having the overhead of having employees.
Ah, I see.
That's what I do. I have a gal who's an OT, and she's an independent contractor for me.
Okay.
And so that could be another avenue, is that you get to actually try it and you're giving something to the business owner and you're gaining experience in return.
Yes.
So that can be a good opportunity.
Thanks for mentioning that, because again, I'm hearing there's another job out there that may not say OT on it, right? But it's something that certainly an OT would be great at.
Mm-hmm.
What would it be? What would this job be called? Is it, what would it?
Organizing assistant.
Organizing assistant. Okay, got it. Oh, fantastic. So much I've learned today from you, Sarah. Thank you so very much. Are there any resources or anything that you'd like to share with us, which we will also list on our show notes, or just any kind of quick tips for any of our listeners?
Absolutely. Well, I wanted to mention that I have coached other people to become home organizers. So if you are an OT and you are thinking about that, or a PT or a speech path or whoever, and you are thinking about that, I do offer that as a service. So I can help you think about, you know, if you truly want to do it and how the steps to get started. So that would just be, you just contact me on my website. There's lots of ways that you can contact me. And I do have a lot of freebies on Instagram. So I wanted to let people know that if they follow me on Instagram, I know you're going to put the handle below the course or below this so that they can reach out to me. But there's a link in my bio for some organizing checklists and things that people can download for free to get
Fantastic.
Themselves organized. And then I do have an upcoming online course that I'm launching later in the spring. And it came about because people were asking me how they could work with me, even though I'm not in their city. So I wanted to create an organizing course that really addressed looking at habits and routines and helps people to learn how to do the five steps of organizing that I've created. So looking at how to declutter, how do I organize? How do I source materials? Where do I get them from? How do I install them? How do I use a label maker? How do I keep the systems in place after I've done them? And so my course is called Clutter-Free Home, a step-by-step guide to shift from feeling overwhelmed to organized in 60 days.
And I love it.
And so that will be available soon. And the way that you would find that is through Instagram or by going on my website and joining the email list. Then you would get information about the course. And I will have it up on my website when it's available.
Oh, thank you. We will definitely include all of that. I just think it's valuable on so many levels, you know, personally for us, right? Organizing our own lives and our own spaces. But, you know, some of us work with folks in their homes, like home care OTs. I know I worked in residential programs where I would go into someone's space and really I love these checklists because I did not have them for myself, right? So to have something that an OT home organizer has already created and to have it available as a resource for us who are practicing out there, thank you for that. I think our listeners would really, you know, find that super helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to offer it.
So thank you. And I look forward to your course. And yeah, I love this other dimension to the services that you're offering because now you're training, you're teaching us, you know, and I love where this is all going. So thank you so very much for sharing your journey. We'd love to have you back again to talk about your course and the next chapters.
And
thanks. Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us and spending the time with us today, Sarah.
Great. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And that wraps up another inspiring episode of the Uncommon OT series. Connect with me at www.transitionsot.com. And don't forget to sign up to be part of the Transitions OT community. By doing so, you'll receive my latest compiled list of Uncommon OT practice settings, the latest news on mentoring offerings, Uncommon OT live events, non-traditional OT resources, and more. You may also follow me on my social media pages on Instagram and LinkedIn. And if you love this episode, head on over to Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, and Google Podcasts to follow, rate, and leave a review. I also ask you to consider pledging your support to my passion podcast project by being a patron on Patreon. It is very much appreciated. Sending big OT love. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.